Okay.
Yeah, no, yeah, this is my friend John Marsh's place. He built this place. This, I always say, you built this out of love, bro.
Yeah, and you can tell.
This is him coming in here and fixing this thing from 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And he gets done with clients. Then he stays in and he does this. He does the paint here. Yeah. He rips this thing up. That's John Marsh, you know?
I think that's something that people don't realize. Like, I was watching, yeah, I watched like random stuff that gets shared on Facebook,
sure,
or whatever.
Yeah.
And they're talking about like dry aged steak. And, you know, they're going to all these like steakhouses yes, in New York.
Yeah.
And these guys do it. And these guys, like, they've been doing it for decades, like probably 50, 60 years. They get up at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Dude.
They get this meat out. They get it by hand. And they don't finish up till they're finished dinner service that night. Mm. And people don't realize that, like, to, you know, like, it's great if you can follow, whatever, follow your dreams or follow your passion, mm-hmm, do stuff like that. But it really is like the dedicated, consistent hard work.
It's that.
Yeah.
It's that personality,
mm-hmm,
right? How did that go? I'm trying to see it. And I'm tired, bro, so I'm sorry, man.
Oh, no, it's no problem.
Sometimes I'm like, just like, whoa, there's nothing happening there. But I'm trying to think, you know. But yeah, for sure. You know, it's the turtle and the hare. Is that what that is?
Yeah,
it's a turtle,
yeah,
and the,
that's right.
Yeah, tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
But that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, this is made out of love, bro. So this is a great place because there's legitimate dudes here.
Yeah.
I mean, and gals too,
mm-hmm,
right? If you look at this place, I mean, John Marsh is one of the pioneers of what we would consider as MMA today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as our sensei, Eric Paulson and sensei Ron Baliki, you know, those guys were in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
You know, of course, sensei Hickson and all the other guys, right? You know, but yeah, they've all been there. But the one thing about all of them is that they're very passionate, right?
Yes.
They're very passionate.
Yeah.
And then what happens when you're around them? They are those kind of loving people.
Yeah.
They're loving people, right?
Yes, that's true.
And then you can see them in a fight, you're going, holy crap.
Yeah,
you see, right? So that's but that's the creator of this place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm lucky to be here. That's all I wanted to say, I guess. You know what I mean?
So you,
right?
You teach privates here?
I teach privates here. I teach kickboxing classes here, and
okay.
I teach. I don't teach our Filipino martial arts in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
I only teach in a private setting.
Yeah, and we were just talking about that a little bit. You know,
yeah,
like that's the thing. I think there's ebb and flow of our lives, and we have,
yeah,
different motivation for different things. But currently, I also am not teaching a class.
You're not, right? You're not teaching,
yeah,
a class anymore. Okay.
But I think, you know, the thing for me is, like, this is, like I was just saying, you know, is a very precious, important thing to me.
Mm-hmm.
And with no judgment, but when I've taught it in the class in the past, and people kind of in and out,
mm-hmm,
or they, you know, what we did last time, they have
forgot.
No remember, you know,
forgot.
No recollection of what we did. It's not, I guess I'm not able to not take that, I don't want to say personally, but
sure,
it's just like, man, you know, like this thing is so, I don't think you understand
how
I'm valuable this is to me.
Yeah, yeah. What I'm giving to you.
And then you're just,
sure,
you know.
And that's okay. I was, you know, I said earlier, you know, I'm in the same boat,
mm-hmm,
right? I'm in the same boat to where I'm very passionate. And sometimes that could be my fault. I'm passionate, and the other person is not passionate yet.
That's true. You know what?
Right?
That's true.
You know what I mean? And but I did. I feel like, hey, you know, if you're not going to be here as I am here, I've rescheduled everything in my life.
Yeah.
So I can be here for you guys.
Yeah.
And then one person shows up out of 20.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And thank goodness for this one person that,
yeah,
makes me continue,
yeah,
to do this, okay? Because a lot of the times we don't charge.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, there was that time that I wasn't charging. Why? Because we both work in a different field.
Yeah.
It wasn't our way of making a living,
mm-hmm,
but it was our way of, it's our passion.
Yes.
It was our thing that we go, we want people to know this and understand this, you know, until maybe for some of us it became your passion, and then also your way of making a living.
Mm-hmm.
Like what they say, you know, find something you love the most, and make it your living, and then you'll never work a day in your life.
Yeah.
Right. So, I'm in that. It was,
yeah,
a hard thing to do. I tell you, it was a,
yeah,
hard thing to do to charge.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
But I think, as you're talking about that, it makes me think about anything that's important to us. Let's say they're not even someone that's family or, you know, very, very close friends. But let's say just in general, someone's, sure. you know, said, okay. hey, Willie, you okay. know, I'm about to get married.
Okay.
You know, do you have, well, what advice would you have? Like, what things would you have as I go through this? And you wouldn't necessarily, I mean, what you give them in that moment at that time. I don't think because it's coming from the generosity of your heart, whatever right. you choose to give,
whatever.
I don't think automatically you're thinking about like, well, how much would I value this? How much would I charge? You know what I mean?
No.
It's just not.
No,
it's
absolutely.
Not
part, you don't,
certainly
right.
there's part of people, there's people that do that for a living
yeah.
and they're great at it.
Yeah.
But I think, I'm in a similar thing too, where, it's just not about the money.
It isn't. It really isn't.
Yeah.
But then you start to realize, I'm only going to charge, let's pick a number. I'm only going to charge $10.
Yeah.
Right? But then since it's your way of making a living, you're going, my God, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I got to pay rent. Oh my God, I got to.
That's right.
Right? You know, so you start to really give it the true value without taking anybody out of what they can afford as well.
Yeah.
Also, you know. So I think, anyway, I've made peace with that.
yeah.
You know. It is how I make a living, and I enjoy it. And I know I try, at least for me, I try to give it. I try to give the person who's learning a lesson from me more than what they're paying.
Yeah.
And I hope that's how it is. And you know, and then I find success there.
Yeah.
You know. So and typically they're very happy and they come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have long term students.
Oh yeah.
You know, so that's what makes it valuable to me, because it is valuable to us, right?
Yes, sir.
And it's what we're giving. We're giving ourselves.
Yes, that's true.
We are. We're giving ourselves.
Or do you think that is a Filipino thing, to
My
be
God.
Hesitant to charge? You know, because I look at other Filipinos or Filipinas, and, you know, they're not necessarily the best business people.
No.
You know?
And some are just, and some just don't understand how
true.
To charge.
Yeah.
They just don't. See, I don't know. Let's look at it from this perspective. I don't even know if I'm going to make friends if I say this. Because I think sometimes we tend to, the people that we're supposed to love the most, we ignore and we don't spend enough time with them.
You're absolutely right.
They're supposed to be the most important thing in our lives, right? Okay? And I think sometimes that's what we do, all of us as people, maybe not just Filipino, but just people. You know, the thing that's most important to us, we don't see value in it. We just seem to want to share it because we... You know, and we don't see that people actually value it, and then it becomes devalued, and then there's no payment for it. There's no payment for it. Payment in a sense of giving credit where credit is due.
Yes.
You teach a lesson, and all of a sudden you see some guy on YouTube with a brand new T-shirt, a brand new logo on the wall. He's got, you know, 2,500 student, and
yeah.
he's showing your stuff.
Yeah.
But then, you know. Yes, you know, my name is Frank Smith, and I created this. And you're going, wait, that's Joey Morano.
Yeah.
That's I taught you that last month.
Yeah.
You didn't know that. You were fumbling.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's you know, we talk. I talked to I'll drop a name here. Who's all of us? We adore him. His name is Doug Marcaida.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we converse. You know, we. We want to do something for the old Manongs that are still around, that are in the Philippines, that are, man, they're not getting paid. People
yeah.
will go to the Philippines, spend $2,000, take privates with them, pay them, you know, 200 pesos, which is, what is 200 pesos,
yeah.
man? 300 pesos,
yeah.
what is that? That's crazy.
It's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and then they go back to, and not all of are bad, I'm not saying that, not even... Most of them are bad. A lot of them are terrific people,
yeah.
right? Because they really, truly respect these gentlemen. But a lot, you know, a lot of times people will go and just take the information and just go, and they never give back.
You're right.
They never give back to them.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's one of the things that if we ever, you know, stop being busy, we would like to really kind of do something that would give back to them.
Yeah.
Because at some point, you know, we're connected to them.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you saying that, just because I feel like... I remember one time well, I'm not gonna like put any names out or anything.
No, for sure.
You know, like there was an instructor that was showing some footage of some manongs in the Philippines,
sure.
And they were demonstrating their art,
sure.
And they were like, you know, and they had filmed it so that they could help share and propagate their system,
sure.
But literally in the film, they're saying, please, you know, can you send us? Can you help us? Can
the
you
manongs,
send us some
the
money?
Manongs. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I never saw that. Okay.
And you know, it's just. The teacher that was showing it to us, you know, he's very proud of his teachers, and I think I don't know if he realized at the time that maybe he had forgotten or didn't realize that that other people were going to see that.
Yeah,
and he was a little bit self-conscious, but
yeah.
You know, that's the truth. I mean, these great masters in the Philippines, they definitely were not living in any kind, nothing like how we are.
Nothing
here in the US.
Nothing how we are. Nothing how we are. You know, we're very lucky. You know, I mean, but that's also, our luck is based on the hard work of our parents, our ancestors that brought us here, right?
That's true.
Okay, so
100%.
That's our luck, okay?
Yeah.
That they were able or were capable or had the chance to transfer themselves from our situation in the Philippines and back here.
Yeah.
We're both transports, right?
Yes.
Right?
Well, you know, so that kind of gets, you know, like the tip, sort of typical interview stuff. So you were born in the Philippines.
I was proudly born in Nabotas. Actually, not Nabotas. I was proudly born in Tondo, Manila.
Uh-huh.
I mean, which is Mary Johnston. So if people in Manila knows, that's where you were born. Mary Johnston Hospital in Tondo.
Wow.
And we lived in Nabotas, which is Tondo area.
Yeah.
Nabotas, Malabon.
Yeah.
That's where I grew up.
You know, my family is from Gagalangin. They grew up in Gagalangin.
No kidding.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
You see? So that's, I mean, how long have you been here?
Oh, I was born here.
You're born here.
Yeah, I was born here.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yo, have you been back?
I have been back.
Yeah.
I've only been back to visit, but you know, I have to say, after college, my brother, he lived in China for a few years,
okay.
And then he lived in the Philippines for almost 10 years.
Wow.
And I think for us, we had a lot of conversations about it, but for us that were not, and I think this is probably similar for a lot of Filipino Americans, there's a part of me that very much identifies with Filipino culture and the people and the identity, but I only know of this place through the lens and experiences of my parents and people that
sure.
are close to me. So for him, I believe a big thing was he wanted to just go there and experience it for himself and not be as a visitor. So not be, you know, like a tourist and, you know, treat it out, but really, you know, he had his home broken. You know, he had like a little place that got broken into.
Sure.
And when he ended up working there, he worked for like some high, you know, for a high school. And but the high school was a nice high school. It was in Green Hills. But whenever they'd have visitors and they'd want him to take them around the Philippines, he would take them to Malacañang and all these places. But you know, he'd also take them to Smoky Mountain, and he'd take them around because it was important for him to say that it's not that I want to show you the bad parts of the Philippines, but to him it was
part
I want to show you the real Philippines.
It's part.
Yeah.
It's part of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smoky Mountain is right there for me.
Yeah.
I mean, on a bad, hot, humid day, I'm smelling the aroma of Smoky Mountain.
Yeah.
Because I'm right there by the fishing. We're a fishing village. The Botas, Malabon, Tondo is right here.
Yeah.
Smoky Mountain is right there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You know? So, but one thing for me is I've not been back. That's my only, you know, regret. You know, my parents have been back, you know, you know, we tend to save our money and instead of trips.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We don't do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
All of us.
Yeah.
You know,
because
why spend $2,000 when you could spend $2,000 and provide for 10 families?
Oh, yeah, sure.
It doesn't make sense. So the patriarchs go because they're the patriarchs, mom and dad, right? They go home because they got to see everybody.
Yeah.
But that's just, you know. At least that's the way that's my excuse. If people are mad at me for not going over there.
No, I mean, it's not, people may talk about how cheap it is to go there. I mean, to be there. To actually go there is very expensive.
It's not cheap.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
Yeah. So Guru, when did you start, how did you get involved with martial arts?
Wow.
Did you start that before you left the Philippines?
No, I was in the Philippines. I got into Okay, so everybody knows Navotas, Malabon, Tondo, right? So it's a tough, rough neighborhood.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had to learn something. Okay. So if people know what I look like, I don't look like a local. Because at least in my area, I'm the light skin.
Mm.
Yeah. So, but anyway, that's in my head, and I think, well, that's what my bullies would, you know, call me, you know, names, right? Okay.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, me running, and then and some days you just said, I don't want to run anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you learn how to fight. You mm-hmm. learn how to fight. So, yeah. My first experience was Shotokan karate. Friend of mine, name is Rodrigo Santos. Mm-hmm. And he lived in Malabon, okay? And he was the guy that says, listen, I'm going to show you some stuff, man. So we did Shotokan karate,
nice.
You know, he was just beating me up, really.
Yeah.
You know, but I learned a little bit. And his big brother, I can't remember his name right now. I only remember Rodrigo Santos' name.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm going to look for him on Facebook. but yeah. That was karate, and then we said, no, wait a second. Now, I have not thought about this. Prior to, because that's high school. Prior to that, we did Modern Arnis,
really?
Elementary school.
Wow.
So, right. I mean, I had Modern Arnis.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I knew I had Arnis, but I just thought of it. Wait, yeah. Rodrigo's high school, and Modern Arnis is before that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we had Modern Arnis, mm-hmm. okay? We really did it more of a PE rather than a combative.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't, you know, it's pie, mm-hmm. heaven six, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what we did, right? Okay. Not the way it's taught today, but I'm sure probably in the elementary school, it's probably still taught in a very basic fitness kind of way, right? You know, so that. And you learn how to fight in the street.
Yeah.
That's how you get started. That's how you get started. You get punched in the face, you get chased, and you stop, and, you know, and you just kind of learn to not close your eyes, because closing your eyes meant you're going to get hit more.
Yeah.
Because it actually doesn't stop.
Yeah. That's
you know, unbeknownst to most people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, they just keep going.
Yeah.
So you learn to kind of look.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, wow, that's, I've not thought of that.
Yeah.
It's really strange. But yeah, it was Arnis first, uh-huh. Modern Arnis, and then karate after.
Wow.
Weird.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, and then, you know, Bruce Lee movies, right?
Yeah.
So 70s, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we always watch Bruce Lee movies because he passed away in 72, right? You know, we grow, and then I ended up here in 70, I want to say 78, 79.
Okay.
Went to, we're a Methodist family, and we had a church in Chinatown, Los Angeles, off of Broadway, and I believe it was even called Broadway United Methodist Church. And there was a few young boys there going to that church that were, you know, when we had an uncle. He's not an uncle, but we call him Uncle, mm-hmm. Uncle Arthur Oy, okay, that trained at the Kali Academy.
Oh.
So in order to just keep the boys out of trouble, okay, keeping us out of trouble, made us a promise that you guys keep going to church without go to Chinatown. Instead of going to Chinatown, go to church, finish. Go through the Bible study, I'll teach you guys stuff. So that's what we did.
Cool.
So he was teaching us KKD, Kali,
wow.
and stuff, right? And finally, he had said this, that at some point, he had asked Sifu Richard, who was the one of the owners of Kali Academy, which with Gurdan, that, you know, there's a couple of kids that I want to make sure they go into a different, the correct direction.
Mm-hmm.
Sifu, of course, goes, bring him in.
Yeah.
So that's why we were allowed to go and,
oh, wow.
and join.
Yeah.
That's my experience.
How old do you think you were? About how old?
Gosh, I was 19.
Oh, okay.
18, 19.
Okay. So you weren't like a little kid.
No, I wasn't a little kid. 18, 19. You know. So, what are their names then? Tim Phillips, I think, used to ride with Sifu Richard. Joyce Ramirez, Mark Olson was in our class. Those are old names.
Yeah.
I would see Guru Jeff come in and out, because at the time he was already doing, I think he was already doing, no, he wasn't doing, was he doing movies already? But I knew he had a Bali song. He already had the Bali song book out.
Okay.
A couple of years later. I'm not sure when that was.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe that was later. Maybe that was later. Anyway, but I would see, you know, Guru Jeff in and out.
Yeah.
In there. Wow. See, guy, Miyamoto. See, Miyamoto. I think he became sheriffs. That dude was tough.
Yeah.
That dude was tough. You know. But anyway, that was the time. But then I only stayed there for a very short time. And then went to college, went through the whole thing. And I ended up in, long story short, I ended up working in the clothing industry.
Hmm.
Okay. And I was working for Macy's at the time, the Beverly Center. And I was in charge of the suit department.
Oh.
At the time, it was 1980. No, not 1980, no. 1990. I want to say 1990. Brandon comes walking in shopping for a suit.
Wow.
Yeah.
You knew who he was right away?
Well, I knew who he was, right? So, okay, say, hi, Brandon. Can I help? If there's anything I can help you, just let me know. Yeah. Whatever, couple of seconds. And I had to say something. You know, Brandon, we were in class at the Kali Academy. And he looked at me and goes, hey, man, what's going on? How are you? He did not remember me.
Yeah.
But he was so cool.
Yeah.
Right? So, whatever, you know. But he goes, yeah, I remember you didn't like really being there because you just wanted to play baseball.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of smirked a little bit, you know. And we were just talking. So what are you doing now? What are you doing? Oh, this is my department. I'm working here. You know, whatever. And I go, yes. I think I saw his movie, so I think I said I saw your movie, whatever.
Yeah.
I forget which one it was. He goes, oh, thank you, whatever. I go, where's the gym now? Where's the school now?
Uh-huh.
He goes, oh, here, I'll write it down. So, who are you with? Are you with Sifu Richard or are you Sifu Dan? He goes, well, I'm with Sifu Dan because I knew that they're are different schools now. He goes, oh, I went with Sifu, with I think he even said Uncle Dan.
Uh-huh.
Not Sifu Dan, but
yeah.
I think he said Uncle Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he wrote it down. He wrote it down for me. So, anyway, I took that. I didn't sell him anything because he didn't find anything he liked, so he left. I want to make this kind of short, but it's going to be a couple of things that are important. So he leaves, and I looked at that. I go, ah, okay, I'm going to, you know, but I never did. I never went. I just kept doing my thing.
Yeah.
And then the unfortunate thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And sure, if I was already in there when I heard about it, I think it was after. I want to say that I was already there and something happened,
yeah.
But I believe I came in after. I don't know, you know. But anyway, when I went to, he was such a nice man. And
yeah.
That was the only time that I ever spent time with him.
Yeah.
You know, not my best friend, I'm not going to say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but he was, but man, he was just such a good guy.
Yeah.
So it's a great memory of him.
Yeah, that's true.
You know?
Yeah.
So when I did join, and when I did go, I was interviewed by Guru Damon Kara. As a matter of fact, Guru Damon brought his daughter here training wrestling with our wrestling team.
Oh, wow.
She's a terrific wrestler.
Wow.
And his son comes here and does kickboxing with us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, so, well, Guru Damon is gone all the time.
Yeah.
So, but the time that he was here, we were actually talking. He goes, yeah, I remember you. I remember when I interviewed you. I go, that's right, you interviewed me. You brought me back. We were laughing about that, you know. But Guru Damon, Carol, I don't know if you guys must know who he is. I mean, come on, 300 and, you know, Superman versus Batman.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is a beast.
And you know what? And he's a nice guy, too. Super nice.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
I mean, I kind of look at you guys, like a lot of my seniors with, I'm trying to like harass people and, you know, kind of fanboy out. But, you know, in the times that I've had interactions with him or Guru Jeff Imada or whomever,
yeah.
You know, they're always great guys. They just introduce themselves as their first name. There's no expectation that I would know who they are. I don't know. Yeah. You know, it's
none.
They're great guys. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's we were all very competitive during our period. I must say, you know, I like the era that I went back into. I really do. Yeah. I like that era. It was, I mean, come on. Damon Carroll, Eric Paulson, mm-hmm. right? You know, Shoshi Abe, mm-hmm. right? Joe Clark,
yeah.
right? Ron Beliki,
yeah.
all right, okay? I'm just trying to go through my list in my head, that's why. You know, Justin Williams, I mean, you know, Keith Davis, mm-hmm. and I mean, good guys, you know. And then, you know, of course, you know, the Eusebio brothers, Jonathan and John, you see. Yeah. I mean, it was a great time to yeah. be there. You know, Nicolas Seniak, of course, is our, you know, sub. I mean, what a time to be training there.
Yeah, that's incredible.
You know, right? Yeah. We always, this is the way I found it, and this is only my view. I've never heard anybody seen it this way, but this is the way I remembered it. When Guru would show something on Tuesday night, mm-hmm. Kali class, and this is the time when it was only instructors and above, mm-hmm. right? Okay, or, you know, yeah, you have to be an instructor. When he shows something by Thursday, I can guarantee you by Thursday, almost, if not everybody, have already mastered it.
Really?
Okay.
That ethic okay. is rare.
Okay. This is my experience. Okay. And the reason why I remember this is because Leonard Stevens and Hamilton Kalonge, okay, Leonard Stevens now teaches for Guru, well, I should call him Guru Leonard Stevens. I call him Leonard, he's my brother. But Guru Leonard Stevens teaches for Guru Patre and I believe Rick Tucci. I'm not sure if they have the same school together.
No, it's just Guru Patre at Trident.
Okay, so he teaches for Guru Patre. Okay, I tried it now. Okay, but me and Leonard and Hamilton would go to the beach. I forgot, you remind me, Leonard, when you see me, what beach it is that we went to in Hamilton. We would go there, and whatever we trained Tuesday night, we trained the morning on I think Wednesday. And we would go early, train that,
yeah.
and then go to, by Thursday, we already knew what we were doing. So, because everybody else did.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can. So Guru would say, we'll call, okay, just for example, Sinawali 6 count, heaven, go. Yeah. 1 minute. In 10 seconds, if he sees what he wants, he goes, yeah. okay, time. Okay, do this. If he sees what he likes, time. So we got so much.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Because whether the group knew that that's how Guru operated, because when he saw that everybody got it, then he just keeps giving. At least that's the way I saw it.
Yeah.
That's the way I saw it. You know. But we did repeat a lot of stuff. We did. Guru does stay for a long period of time. He would stay with mm-hmm. the same protocol.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But that's, you know, that was the fun part.
Yeah.
That was the fun part. Anyway, that's my...
That's great. And so you've been... obviously, you've been under Guru since then.
I've been under Guru since, I guess, since 1991?
Yeah.
91, 92? Yeah. Under Guru. And under Guru, I trained... a lot of my time, I trained with Guru Ram Beliki.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of my time.
Yeah.
Okay? And also with... Sensei Eric Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these are the people that I trained with. And of course, Nick, when he was there teaching, that's with Eric Paulson. Mm-hmm. But those were the times that I could come in.
Yeah.
So you know how it is.
Yeah.
Because there's work and there's school and
of
there's
course.
You know, you can't go to everybody. You want to go to everybody else's class, you can't go to everybody else's
yes.
class. You know. See for Damon, Guru Damon, if he's teaching, because even then he was already kind of busy already, mm-hmm. right? You know. A little bit with Sensei Yuri. I don't want to say I trained a lot with him because I didn't,
because
mm-hmm. that would be a lie.
Yeah. yeah.
yeah. You know, but you know, a couple of shoot wrestling classes I took with him, but I think my schedule with school just changed and it just didn't work out.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, those are the other guys were really, my concentration was became Kali.
Yeah.
I wanted to be MMA.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just went to Kali.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's one of the ways that, I mean, I see a lot of, I refer to most of my seniors as guru, unless I know specifically that they prefer seafood or something.
Right.
But I really do see you, I see you as my senior in all the things under, all the arts under Guru, Guru Dan, but yeah. certainly in Kali. And I think one of the things that I really like about, I mean, there's a lot of the things that I admire about your practice of Kali, but one of the things I really like is I feel like your emphasis on being well-rounded as a martial artist, which includes firearms, is not only in my view of, you know, sort of this idea of like martial arts or being a warrior, but also is a very Filipino martial art thing.
People don't realize.
Yeah.
Well, how many uncles own a 1911?
Yeah.
And an M1 Garand.
Yeah.
Because why? World War II.
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Right?
Yeah.
How many uncles own a Cutlass? Because of, you know, just because we're so naval, not
yeah.
just not just army. I mean, we do army, but, you know, most of our guys are what? That's what they do. They want to be on the ocean, right? Most Filipinos are seafaring people.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah, firearm is an incredible part of, and the more I got into it, you know, you know how we, I remember when I thought I knew guns. Like right now, I don't think I know guns. I know it, but I'm looking at all of the people that I'm training with. I'm going, I don't know it.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah.
know it. You know what I mean? You know, because now I'm getting into reloading. I'm getting into maybe smithing, you
oh,
know.
Yeah.
Right? Because, I've been shooting since I was nine. I was
yeah.
shooting since I was...
Yeah.
No, you haven't. You were shooting wrong. I'm talking about me.
Yeah.
You've been shooting wrong since you were...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, it was just wrong.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, how many people are there like me who goes... Oh no, I know how to shoot.
Yeah.
And of course I encounter him.
Mm-hmm.
I encounter him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I know how to shoot. And then we go shooting.
Yeah.
And I go, holy cow. Wow, it's a good thing that paper is, you know, 20 by 20.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you wouldn't have hit it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So now that's my you see, I was waiting for you. I'm putting up my airsoft training thing because
yeah.
any moment I get I will you know, mag change, I would do my speed reload, my tack reload,
yeah.
I'll do my draw, I'll do
yeah.
my pull. I mean, it's because it's addicting.
Yeah, it is addicting, but at the same time, it is one of those things that, you know, when I changed jobs, I had to change my training schedule. But for about 2 years, I would go to the range every week. And I would do the same things, and I never felt like I was getting better. Maybe a little bit, but
right.
It would just be like those people that work on their golf swing. Like, it's just, I just know if I can just get a little bit better, if I can work on this, work on like my, whatever it is, like
whatever.
Front sight, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And now that I don't go, it's really fallen to the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, speaking of, you know, just practicing wherever you can, actually, just yesterday, you know, someone must have given Guru a cert pistol, or he purchased it. Or, you know,
whatever.
And so in break, you know, he was like stretching, he's rolling
playing.
Around, and he took out his cert, and then he was just... And I don't think most of the guys there knew what that is.
Yeah.
Why you'd use it.
Yeah.
But you know, that's the whole thing. It doesn't have to be a long time every day.
No.
But the thing is, it's that consistency.
It's
and,
a,
you
yeah.
know.
See, look at our teacher.
Yeah.
Our master
yeah.
is still has a training pistol.
Yeah.
And he's stretching and he's going, I'm going to train my aim. I'm going to
yeah.
train my trigger
yeah.
control. I'm going to train my reset.
Yeah.
Probably is what he's doing.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool.
It is very
cool.
That
dude is cool anyway.
Oh, yeah.
That guru is cool.
Yeah,
anyway.
And he is one of the, you know, he,
yeah.
I, people have said this before, so it's not my thing, but people have said that along with being possibly the best martial artist ever, but certainly Guru Dan is maybe the greatest example of a martial arts student. You know, he's
oh,
like eternally.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yes.
You know, and I hear people question, you know, why would he have to do that? And I'm going, and I used to like get into an argument or get into a conversation, I guess I would call it. And I just literally just, I get older, you get older and you just go, okay, you're asking, that's fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't get into it anymore because if they're asking and they don't understand, my explanation wouldn't work anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would be a waste of my energy.
Yeah.
Okay. Somebody told me a long time ago, it's just never take a lesson away from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Let them learn it.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so, and it is, and that's what Guru's example is. Guru's example is this. This is the way I learned it. Now, you learn it your way. Okay? Remember that mountain climb thing? I can't recite it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's his writing.
Yeah.
That's his real thought. That's deep feeling. That's wisdom. That's, you know, everybody has a different path.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That's why when I hear people say, well, you know, this is what I do and you're doing is wrong, and I just kind of go, ah, okay. Now, are we all so good that we don't make a mistake, and sometimes we go, I mean, I would never do that. I've done that. I probably still do that.
Yeah.
And I know I do.
Yeah.
I know I do. Why? Because we have an opinion, right?
Yeah.
We have an opinion. Okay. But to enforce that we know and we are it, that's incorrect.
Yeah.
Because our teacher is still getting a lesson, man.
Yeah, that's right.
He's still getting a lesson.
Yeah.
Right? So I think it's cool.
And I think it's a constant reminder. You know, like, there's a lot of people that will be critical of things that they see on the internet, YouTube or Facebook.
Sure, I do that.
Me too.
I do.
And people, as an example, people will be very critical of videos that they see of Sistema.
Sure.
And I mean, I admit it looks like it's a kind of a foreign movement, I don't know, you know. But
I've done that. I think I've just done it recently.
Yeah.
I'm being honest.
Yeah.
You know.
But you know, at the same time, you know, Guru's been studying Sistema, and he's been in martial arts with that educated eye, lifetimes more than I have.
All of us.
And whether he does it because he just likes martial arts and just wants to learn something new.
For sure.
Or whether he sees something that obviously people don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just a great example that he... You know, in fact, I just heard... Well, to finish my thought, it's just a great example of the fact that he's always learning. But yes. I just heard that he's been taking privates in Aikido. You know,
And people make fun of Aikido.
Yeah.
Guru sees something in everything. What has he said to all of us? And I remember you've been in class with me many, 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 many times. And he had said this, must have said this. Okay, right. Everybody's got a piece of the action.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody's got a piece of the action. Right? There's a reason why they've survived.
Yeah.
This long, you know. And we can make... Look, we can make fun of Filipino martial arts also.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Okay? And sometimes it's you.
Yeah.
Yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because how many videos have you go, man, I'm glad I did not post that on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that was dumb.
Yeah.
Right? Trust me, I've discarded so many.
Yeah.
You see? So, and that's the reason why, if you notice, everything, the only thing that I post are not training stuff. They're all... either sparring or light sparring, or because it's realistic.
Yeah.
Oh, not realistic, but close to realistic.
Yeah.
In the essence of realism, right?
Yeah.
You know. So, but yeah, it's our attribute drills are not fighting movement.
Yeah. People don't understand that.
So you understand exactly what I said, right? Okay. Good. I'm glad. I knew you would.
Yeah.
But that's what it is. So people that will take the attribute drills and do it fast and tell this person and say, this is how you're going to save your life. That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
Okay. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you can say these are the essential attributes that you may need, in that situation, then you must create these scenarios and you must play these scenarios.
Yeah.
Now, it's up to you. Now, scenario doesn't necessarily mean bloodied up.
Yeah.
If you're a thinking person, you can have these scenarios and play it and still be able to get the information and extract that.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
That's just how this is. And I think, like, Sistema, that's what they're doing.
Yes, maybe. Yes.
They're extracting. And again, I'm not speaking for Sistema. I've never trained Sistema because, you know, but what I'm just saying is that when I do it, we'll do the drill, film it, we'll do it a little fast, what will happen, that's what happened, and we start to slow it down, we'll exactly do the same thing, and then we start to live in it when it's slow motion, right? And we're already slow motion.
Yeah.
And then you start to extract.
Yeah.
That's what happens, okay? So, and our attribute trills are created that way.
Yeah.
It happened to somebody. He got stuck here. And then he luckily got home.
Yeah.
He didn't get killed. And he says, okay, what do we do when this happens to me?
Yeah.
And then he creates this, get a spark.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
And I think, you know, maybe even being in this gym, it makes me think of it, but I think it's very similar to, and I only did CrossFit for a little bit of time, but maybe similar to CrossFit.
Okay.
That it seems like a lot of the driving idea behind something like CrossFit is that you need to have lots of attributes. You need to have some strength.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to do a lot of different motions. But CrossFit's not the goal. CrossFit is supposed to give you attributes so you can, whatever, be a better firefighter, or be a better
awesome.
Mother. Yeah.
Never thought of it that way, but that's exactly it.
Yeah. But if you get too locked into
CrossFit
the one thing,
master.
Yeah, if you're just in CrossFit world, then it's just attributes for attributes, just like people that just do the drills. And then people won't be able to, and then when people see it from the outside, they don't understand it.
Understand. Yeah, exactly. You have to recreate the attribute. You have to put the life back into it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Because we do it as choreograph.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I go here, you do this. When I go here, you do this. So now we know this. Now we unchoreograph it, which is what we would consider as free flow.
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of putting life into it. But life really into it is that.
Yes.
Okay. Now you got to find the guy who will do that, but not kill you.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part.
Yeah.
You see that? Okay. But is it impossible? It's not. And I believe all of us that I'm watching, there's a lot of us that are watching, we have a little bit of that already.
Yeah.
You know, to where we can do it with live sticks and still not hurt each other, but be in that real realm.
Yes.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
All right? So we're figuring it out.
Yeah.
We're figuring it out.
Yeah.
A lot of us, you know, I'm watching and I'm seeing and I see what you're doing. I go, yeah, good. See that? Oh, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good because it's not just, we're all thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking in the same room from different windows and different holes and different doors.
Yes.
That's all we're doing.
But I think what you said, you know, quoting Guru, is that everyone has a piece of the action.
Everybody has a piece of the action. So Sistema has it.
Yeah.
That's why he's taking it.
Yeah.
No matter what we think of it.
Yeah. Especially not without training it.
Yeah.
I was telling someone, I was one of those people that when Royce Gracie was
destroying everyone
in the very first UFCs, I was one of those people that was like, well, I don't know. I mean, I think I could maybe punch someone if they tried to come in or knee them or kick them. People seem to forget this now, but at that time, every stand-up martial artist was like, oh, no,
I'll kick that guy
in the face.
Yeah, I'll do this.
Yeah. He'll never take me down.
Yeah, he'll never take me down. And then every guy went down.
Yeah, because when you experience it, no matter what you think, when you see it, it's a different thing when you experience it.
When you're experiencing it.
Yeah.
And then all those guys, luckily, they are martial artists.
Yeah.
They all went into what? Learning the ground game.
Yeah.
It didn't have to be jiu-jitsu, but they learned the ground game.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? That tells you, at least they opened their mind.
That's true.
At least they opened their mind.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of what we do. Is that, whatever, all the posturing happens, and what happens the next day? Joe, that was good. Hey, when can I come in? When can I come in to train with you? All right. Click.
Yeah.
They're friends. That's it.
True.
At least.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen enough of it. You know, that's what happens. There's a lot of cross-training.
Yeah.
You know.
I still think, though, that there's a lot of martial artists when they look at Filipino martial arts. I mean, I can make all kinds of assumptions or guesses, but there's a big hesitancy for a lot of martial artists to cross that and to start training weapons.
Yeah.
Well, they want to learn basically how to defend themselves against a weapon, whether it's a knife or whatever it is. But there's
here's what I see from my perspective. Okay. So I get taken down. And I go to a shooter, a shoot wrestling guy, or a BJJ guy, and says, okay, I want to learn this thing. All right, how long is it going to take? Well, you're going to have to go through this. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever, kickboxing, whatever. When it comes to knife, okay, Joe, show me the easiest way to defend against a knife. I don't want a lot of lessons, just show me the quickest way.
Yeah.
Why is it you want the quickest way with knife and gun and stick?
Yeah.
Why is it that you take 5 years to this, 7 years to this? Why? What? I don't understand that. I don't get that.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Why do you want the easiest way? Well, so that I can do... Well, I want that too, but it doesn't take two lessons.
Yeah.
Or it doesn't even take a month.
Yeah.
So I don't understand your mind work. How does your mind work?
Yeah.
Like, how long have you been doing boxing?
20 years.
How long have you been doing jiu-jitsu?
15.
Yeah.
But now you're coming to me with probably the hardest thing in the world to deal with.
Yeah.
Okay? And you want how many lessons?
Well, I just want to do it for, you know, a couple of days.
No!
It's a crazy thing. Like, I can't wrap my mind around it. People will spend, you know, like one of my students, he used to teach professionally golf.
Sure.
And even to this day, I mean, he's been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
And he will spend hours a week working on his swing.
Sure.
Not even hitting a ball. And obviously, there's nothing lethal about that environment.
Sure.
And people that do that, they know that, like, hey, this is a long time process.
Sure.
I'm not going to get it today.
For sure.
Even people that lift or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a long time. But then for something that actually may kill you, they just want to learn it.
The easiest way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or they think there's an easy solution. Well, I would just do this. Why won't you just do this?
Right. And to simplify it simply. Yeah. It's, to me, makes no sense.
Yes.
Okay. Because then what do we see? We see a simplified attack.
Mm-hmm.
That is a certain attack. And then you are now trained to defend it. That's terrific. Because you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
That one is coming.
Yeah.
Even the frequency in which they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? You knew that it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
That helps.
Yeah.
But when somebody's doing something completely different, okay, now I'm swinging in a very Filipino way, the knife.
Yeah.
All of a sudden what? Oh, wait. It's not the stabbing Halloween style thing going on. Or the sewing machine? Wait.
Yeah.
Okay, you're supposed to do the sewing machine. I know how to deal with a sewing machine, Willie. Okay. Or you're supposed to do the Halloween. And everybody knows exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Now what?
Yeah.
And then everybody refers to, well, every video that I've seen is a, you know, downward stab. Or every video that I've seen is the jail shank thingy. You know, that's what I see. Sure, those are the ones we caught.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. So, no, it's horrible.
Yeah.
It's horrible. And then people go, well, what is your answer, Willie? I don't have a generic answer. I'm sorry. I'm still training it.
Yeah.
I'm still training it.
It's not, I mean, man, the thing too, it's a legitimate thing to look at surveillance footage and things like that.
Sure.
But if you looked at surveillance footage and said, well, how are people shooting pistols? Let's look at the surveillance footage and see what's the most common or realistic thing. That doesn't mean that you should copy that in your training.
No.
You shouldn't do that at all.
Yeah.
In fact.
It's an option.
Yeah.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
Right? You have to make it as realistic as possible and make things happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's what we try to do. We try to make things happen. Now, a lot of things do happen quite frequently.
That's true.
Quite frequently.
Yeah.
Right? When you jam somebody, there is an event that does happen.
Mm-hmm.
When you grab somebody, there's an event that does happen. You know, there is an event that does happen before you can grab or take a hold of them, or what it is that they can do with it. Those things do occur. You know. It is generic. Yes, you can do this. You can simplify it. And I'm not saying that you can't simplify it, but you have to have an understanding of everything before you simplify. You can't simplify it when you are yourself simple.
Yes. I think that is what you just said is the biggest misconception about JKD. Because people will always quote,
what
absorb
Siegel,
what's useful,
yeah,
discard what is useless.
Yeah.
But they never they didn't even absorb. They barely absorbed anything.
You're asking, here's the thing. You're simplifying something that's complex when you yourself is simple.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Okay. Now, people are already going to, I already know, my God, your podcast is going to blow up. Oh, he said. But no, what you understand. Guru said, what did Guru say about Siegel? He said he was able to throw things away because he owned it already.
Yes.
You can't throw away something you don't own.
Yep.
I think that's how he said it.
Yeah.
You know? He already tested it. He already explained it to himself. What did he say? He didn't really discard us, changed it for himself.
Yes.
Correct?
Yeah.
He still punched. He didn't say, don't punch straight.
Yeah.
He just said, I punched this straight.
Yeah.
This is my straight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Siegel Bruce Lee did.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that he discarded kicks. He said, I kick this way.
Yeah.
Right? Isn't that the meaning of Jeet Kune Do?
Yeah.
Right? That's it.
And in fact, there was a lot of stuff that, you know, so, you know, Siegel was very practical with his approach.
Yeah.
But even Guru Dan will say that, you know, there's techniques for show and there's techniques for go. And,
right, absolutely.
You know, Siegel Bruce maybe didn't advocate for high kicking on the street when he was teaching his classes. But guess what? His high kicks look pretty good
in
the movies.
He'll mess you up with that,
yeah,
too. And
yeah,
if he did use it in the street, you probably won't see it because he'll probably hide it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he'll probably make you look low so he can kick you in the head.
Yeah.
That's what he's going to do. How many times have we seen that?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Well, here's the first time we see it in modern time is when Alan Gowis? Fought Maurice Smith.
Yes.
Okay. Where he was jacking that right kick. Boom. Is it right? Yeah, right kick. Boom, boom. And Alan Gowis finally went low, and Maurice went, nope. Boom. Knocked him out.
Yeah.
That was the first time we saw a striker beat a jiu-jitsu guy.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
In our world.
In modern MMA.
MMA.
Yeah.
And that's when all the strikers, see?
Yeah.
Well, no. Maurice knows the ground game.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't realize that he fought in Pancrase, and so he has some experience, more than most of the other guys who are just stand up and say, see?
Yeah.
No, he can discard.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
He can discard because he knows, but he still stayed with the realm of what he prefers, which is striking.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that's it.
Yeah.
That's really it.
And I think that's a great example of it. It really comes down to the individual.
Comes down to the individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not the martial arts either. In my opinion.
Yeah.
It really isn't the martial arts.
Yeah.
You know, I have a lot of friends in Taekwondo, Hapki, you know. Which karate, where a lot of people still kind of, I don't know why they make fun of it, because I think again ignorance, you know.
Definitely.
I'll bring you to some of my friends that are just straight karate. You won't have a good time.
Yeah.
You know why? Because they have some understanding of judo. They have enough understanding that if you go into the clinch game, they'll take you down.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or jiu-jitsu, whatever it is, Japanese jiu-jitsu that they understand.
Yeah.
Right. You know, normally you think, you know, Kali or Salat is better than it. Well, no, we'll see.
Yeah.
But I prefer Kali Salat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Dumong. That's what I do.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
That's it. It really is the person.
You're right.
You know what I mean? I'm an advocate for Filipino martial art because that's what I'm good at.
Yes.
But I will never discount my Taekwondo friends and Hapkido friends and Aikido friends and, you know, I'm sure I have friends in Sistema.
Yeah.
You know, I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah.
You know.
But it would be, especially from a Kali framework, it would be foolish to discard or criticize those because Kali is so influenced by, just like the Philippines, influenced by many things.
We don't even know where it came from.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, as much as Guru tried, he would say this is Malaysian, this is Indonesian, this is influenced by, you know, Manong Lacoste went to Borneo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is,
yep.
that, is that what he said? So. Borneo or Brunei or whatever,
yeah.
right? And he came back this mm-hmm. way, or the, you know. But even his instructors went all over Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
And who knows if they didn't go to Thailand and learn some Thai boxing or yeah. Muay Boran, whatever, mm-hmm. and brought it back and yeah. said, okay, this is our, this is how we're going to elbow now. We're going to
yeah.
do all, you know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? I'm in Redondo Beach, California, and over there is Hermosa Beach. A lot of my friends are in Hermosa Beach. A lot of my friends are in Manhattan Beach, a few more miles there, but they all train here.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody says, well, this martial arts is Redondo Beach here, and then he goes over there and he says, well, this martial arts is Hermosa Beach. That's how shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you know? Exactly right.
You know, his, that kickboxing is all of a sudden Hermosa Beach. Well, wait a second. That's Hermosa. That's Redondo Beach.
Yeah.
No. But that's just, that's how it is. We're connected somehow.
Yeah.
Okay. But when I say this is Filipino martial, because I learned it from a guy who said this is Filipino martial.
Yeah.
Okay. So I am bound by what he told me.
Yes.
Okay. Whether it's ignorant or ignorance or it is straight out truth. Okay. That's what I remember, and that's me giving respect or credit to the person who shared it with
me. I feel the same way. You know, I was just telling someone, the name of my group is Lakas, Filipino Martial Arts.
Okay, I like that.
And when it started, I was asking Guru, I was like, you know, you told us a story about how Floro Villabreo told you to use Kali. Because that's what he wanted you to use.
That's right. That's right.
And I'm trying to think of, I'm trying to create like an identity for my group or, sure. for, you know, for my future school. What would you like me to use? And in a very Guru Dan answer, he was like, Joe, use whatever you like, whatever you want.
Absolutely.
And I said,
100%.
I was like, well, you know, the thing, I just remember what you told us about Floro Villabreo.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to use Kali.
Mm-hmm.
If you had a preference, what would you say? And he was like, he started to say the same thing, and then he was like, you know what? Actually, Joe, just use Filipino martial arts. Filipino martial arts is good. And I think it also reminds me of a story, you know, when he was asking his dad about
what are we going to call this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everybody's going to fight, Danny,
yes.
he says.
Yeah.
Everybody's, if you call it Screamer, then the Arnese guys will get mad at you.
Yeah.
If you call it Kali, the Arnese and the Screamer guys are going to get mad
yeah,
at you.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Why don't we call it? I think it was it his dad that said that.
I think so. Yeah.
Just Filipino, why don't we call,
like just call it Filipino martial arts?
We just call it.
Yeah.
I'm going. Oh my God! What the man had to go through. You know, he was through the ringer, man. They put him through the ringer every
right.
single one. He, Guru Dan went through for all of us, man. For all of us.
Yeah.
Imagine going home and everybody's calling you. Hey, you're calling this thing. Imagine getting those calls. Imagine somebody coming down, giving you crap. Hey, are you Dan Inosano?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what are you? I mean, he was the guy.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I cannot thank him enough for saving so many people from whatever we might have been doing other than having the, the honor of knowing that our culture is pretty badass.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I remember coming here during that period of time when the Filipinos didn't know. And they just, you know, I mean, they're Filipino, but there was a different, I don't want to say that there wasn't any pride, but it wasn't enough. How's that?
Yeah.
Makes sense?
No, I completely get it.
Right? You know what I mean?
Except maybe in like Barcadas. You know,
except in Barcadas,
you know,
yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, because we're Filipino. We're a Filipino group or dance group or gang.
Yeah, gang. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So a lot of my friends were,
I mean, I feel like that's very common with young Filipino or young Filipino-American men.
Oh, yeah.
Even here in the U.S.
Oh, yeah. No, they go,
you know,
they go like this, you know? Got a couple of. I mean, we have Bahalana on. You know, Bahalana is a gang in the Philippines.
Yeah.
But here it's a martial arts group. But I'm not sure. I don't think it's related. But it's just the name's similar.
I think there's also a there's a Filipino rapper, and he grew up in L.A.
Okay.
And so sometimes in his songs he'll reference like all these like car clubs
mm-hmm.
that started.
Oh yeah.
you know, like, I don't know. I didn't grow up in L.A., yeah. So mm-hmm. he would talk about how, like, there's, I mean, he'll just basically drop their names
drop
in the
names,
songs,
yeah.
you know, like, but there's, whatever, Satanás and Bahá'u'lláh.
Satanás is one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Satanás is one. I have a couple of, in my group.
Yeah.
Former.
Yeah.
Former. Yeah. You know, and, but yeah, I mean, you know, it, you know, then we have Bahá'u'lláh, you know, and, but, Jeff Rocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, these are the groups.
Yeah.
Right? You know? So, but now we have something to be proud of, this thing.
And, you know, culture. I was I stopped by that there's a Filipino, like, arts and culture festival today. It was in Echo Park.
Did you go? Okay.
Yeah. I stopped by just in the very beginning. Of course, mm-hmm. it's Filipino time.
Sure.
And then I had to leave by a certain time to make it to the academy. So, like, they just started when I left. You know, they had, like, a Kulintang group and some other things.
Yeah.
But there was a lot. I have to say, actually, you know what? SGM Juni Piñate was supposed
there.
To be there.
Yeah.
But it was nice. There was a lot of people, and they're in their little groups
sure.
with the different with their schools.
100%.
But it was great to see, you know, everyone yeah. there. And I know, especially for, like, young, you know, college age and younger kids, sometimes there's not an interest in martial arts
mm-hmm.
in general. But I think now, at the very least, like, that. They know that it's part of the culture. They see it in these performances. They see it alongside the dancing. And I think that's, as far as where we are today as, like, being Filipinos in America,
mm-hmm.
Filipino-American,
mm-hmm.
I think in that respect, I think we're starting to do a good job of trying to revive certain things. Like, there's an interest again in, like, babayan or yeah. martial arts.
Absolutely.
Or even, like, the tribal tattoos.
I see that. Know? Yeah, a lot. And that's good.
Yeah.
You know, good for what it is, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, it's not for me, but choices are
yeah.
made.
Yeah.
But I think it's very beautiful art
yes.
when I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm going, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
And you see our, you know, Alibata.
Yeah.
That's our, you know, that's ours.
Yeah.
Dang, it's pretty badass.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's pretty badass. And I will say, you know, only because I know that I'm not, we've heard this, and Guru really have said this before. And over dinner, you know, we had dinner with Guru a couple of weeks. Was gosh, it's one of them, always the most fun time. And Guru said, you know, and I know this actually before. Prior to the Filipinos taking on Kali, it was the non-Filipinos that helped propagate it.
Yeah,
Guru Jeff mm-hmm. was a huge help to us.
Yeah, I think he's
Japanese
actually very unrecognized is how influential he was, his role was in Filipino martial arts.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
When he wrote Bali Song, the book, he made it so intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
He showed how much he loved the art.
Yeah.
Okay. How much he respects Guru Dan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get emotional when I think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
But even now, I mean, just his work with the Bourne movies.
Unbelievable.
You know,
yeah, unbelievable.
His yeah. even his, like, portrayals in the 80s when, you know, he's, like, using the Bali
Dude.
Song. Like, it's
yeah,
incredible.
I mean, he did it, you know. And when I see him always, you know, it's why I love when I see Jeff Amada at the school. Because he's the same exact guy you met in the early 80s, late 70s. Same dude, man. He's helped so many people get into Hollywood, and you know, and gosh, I mean, he's changed people's lives.
Yeah.
This man.
Yeah.
You know, and at the same time, really helped. You know, like we just said, the Bourne. I mean, you know, there is Jay Keaton in there, but that sucker is mostly Kali, man. I want to
oh, yeah.
say that's mostly Kali.
Yeah.
And come on, Book of Eli, dude. That's Kali, 100%.
100%.
That is, I mean, that's Denzel Washington loving that stuff. And,
yeah.
you know, that's Guru Dan and Jeff Amada.
Yeah.
Right there. What else? So much.
Yeah, there's so much.
There's so much.
Yeah.
You know? So, but yeah, this is, and we're not done, bro. I mean, you're doing your deal. I love it. I love it, what you're doing, bro.
Thank you.
You know?
Thank
oh, you. I love it because you keep it real. You keep it real. You're searching. And it's genuine, and it's not selfish, and it's not self-promoting, okay? It is cultural love, it's love for our people, for your people, for our family, for our kids, for our nieces and nephew, respect to our family, respect to our culture. That's why I'm doing this for, because I'm so proud of us.
Yes.
You know? And if other people love it, then even more so.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm so protective of it. And sometimes maybe I'm too protective, because if I, me, this is me, and this could be wrong, whatever, but this is me. That's why I protect it. And if I don't like somebody, I don't teach it to them.
Yeah.
If I don't like you, I'm not going to, I mean, you guys heard that? If I don't like you, I ain't teaching this to you.
Yeah.
Because this is how much I love this.
Mm-hmm.
This is family stuff. This is family treasure, man.
Yeah.
Okay? And if you're just going to go over there and put your big name on it and not give respect, you don't have to give respect to my name.
Yeah.
But if you don't give respect that it's Filipino martial arts that you got this from, mm-hmm. I'm going to hunt you down, motherfucker.
Yeah. Yes.
You know, but I don't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just shut my mouth, I smile, and I just walk away from you.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that's the, I don't want to go to jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know, it reminds me, my grandmother, my Lola, when she was still alive, she used to make this shopao. It was delicious, you know, like...
Damn, dude, Lola's, now I'm thinking, you know, about it, yeah.
You know, they have their things, and you know, that was her thing, and she passed away many years ago. And a few years ago, my youngest brother, there's three of us, three brothers, he got the recipe, and he made it. And he was like, you have to taste this, it tastes just like Lola's shopao. Like, her recipe was so good... like in her, you know, whatever recording of it.
Absolutely.
That he was able to replicate it. And I made it. I was like, this is delicious. Oh, but before he gave me the recipe, and he's my younger brother. By like 8 years, he's my younger brother. And he was like, I'll give you the recipe, but you cannot share it with anyone.
That's,
he's like,
that's right.
This has to stay in our family.
He was told by Lola.
Yeah.
He had to make a promise with Lola.
Yeah.
That's exactly how this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the reason why you got it. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. No, but that's the thing. You know, when things are important... you want to make sure that it doesn't get out, it doesn't get exploited, or...
It's the exploitation that I despise the most.
Oh, yes.
It's the exploitation that I despise the most. When I see the Korean Navy SEAL...
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And they're calling it Taekwondo advancement. Remember I said earlier that I have a love for my Taekwondo family.
Yeah.
Why? Because... My Taekwondo people give respect back.
Yeah.
They train Kali, and when they do Kali in the movies and stuff, they say, this is Kali.
Yeah.
I do Taekwondo, but I learned this from these guys and these guys and these guys. Love them.
Yes.
Then this group goes, what do they call it? Advanced TKD? TKD?
Yeah. It's like tactical, something like Taekwondo.
Tactical Taekwondo.
Yeah.
Look, man. I'm 55 years old. Okay, I've been around. You're trying to fool the 20-year-old? All right.
Yeah.
Whatever. But everything you did verbatim is Kali.
Yes.
Nobody moved knife like that from my memory. Okay, because I've seen all your arts. As a matter of fact, I've trained in all. I did a little bit. Horribly. I'm horrible. I was horrible in Taekwondo.
Yeah.
I was never good enough.
Yeah.
Okay, and I don't mean that I'm not talking shit about Taekwondo, because I love my guys, my people. But whoever these guys are not paying respect back to Kali. All of a sudden it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And actually, even to go even further, and this I will take credit for this, that portrayal of Kali is from our teacher, from Guru Dan.
Yes.
You know, like those drills that they're doing.
Yes. Absolutely.
Maybe they exist. They probably do exist in other systems. But, and I know you and I can talk
You're
about this for
kind.
A long time. But
yeah.
like.
Yeah. No. I mean, I've been around a long time. Long time. And this is the reason why you don't see me doing a lot of drills on video.
Yeah.
On my discoveries.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Maybe somebody else discovered it. That's fine. Okay. Because this is always what happens. You put something on video, you put it on YouTube, it goes on Facebook, and what does somebody say? We have that too.
Yeah.
Now you do, because I did it.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you're sitting there copying it with your number one student, and you're going to go, we're going to just change this piece and this piece and this piece, and all of a sudden it's ours. And I get it.
Yeah.
That's how people do it with products.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Okay? So you got this cool thing, and okay, instead of just rolling on it, I'm going to make it vibrate.
Yeah.
Now it's brand new.
Yeah.
That's it. Great. But that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
The exploitation, the... Everybody thinks that's correct. Guys, ladies and gentlemen, that is like bullshit.
Yeah.
That is not correct. Okay? Taking somebody's idea and making it better is one thing, but taking somebody's idea and making it better and not giving them credit for it, that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, some of you guys are probably going to make excuses, and I know you will. Listen, and am I going to come and argue with you? I am not. Because I'm going to let you learn it for yourself. Okay? Never take away a lesson. Okay? Because I'm too busy trying to get good at shooting. I am not going to spend 1 second commenting when I could be shooting and being really fast reloading.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. You know, people that are out there doing it, they don't have a lot of time to be making comments.
Bullshit.
And yeah.
Yeah. Spending so much time on, I laugh.
Yeah.
And I see, you know, 275 comments.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just thinking, if you had to think about it, that's about 30 seconds, and you had to type it, that's about a minute, and you had to answer it 100 and something times, you, 2 hours, 3 hours you spent, dude, you could have been
anything that you do. If you just take an hour and do that one thing every day, you'd be great at it.
I mean, I'm, you know, am I on YouTube a lot? A lot. But I'm doing research.
Yeah.
Am I on Facebook Live? Yes, you guys know I'm on Facebook Live, post a lot of stuff, you know. But I'm training. I'm sitting here and I'm posting and I'm training. I'm sitting here and posting and I'm training. Yeah. You know, I do something stupid, I post it, and I let you guys in some vague way that I'm doing something stupid, and then I go back, try to shoot again.
Yeah.
or hit a stick or swing a stick or do a knife drill, you know. I don't understand people arguing on Facebook on what technique is better.
You know, that's another thing.
It makes me like, wow, guys.
You know, even, Guru Inosanto has said that, you know, there's going to be a lot of people, don't listen. Just don't. He's not even that critical about that. He's just like, there's going
to
be comments.
There's going
don't worry
to
about it.
You don't know. Worry about
yeah.
it. There's going to be comments.
Yeah.
They're trolling you, first of all.
Yeah.
Right? They got nothing else better to do but to make themselves feel good.
Yeah.
So that they think that they sound, to them, they sound educated.
Yeah.
You know, shit. They'll even bring facts. They think facts.
Yeah.
You know, they'll do video. Somebody video.
Yeah. Like a response.
That's a
like
response.
A response
you know,
video.
See, this is, look at this guy. Yeah. You know, but that guy is not you.
Yeah.
Or this, I mean, I just, it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
It really does. And watch it, like it, laugh, that's it. Go forward.
Yeah.
And say, maybe, whatever. But the waste.
Yeah.
Really, truly the waste.
Yeah.
You know? Seagull, what did Seagull say? Go waste yourself. Go waste yourself. In that movie? Go waste yourself.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Wow, I mean, right? You know what I mean? It really is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's good to find somebody like, I wish you were here. We would be training a lot.
Yeah.
You know? I mean,
we would be
just educating ourselves, and I get hit by my student all the time.
Yeah.
I get, you know, but that's when I learn.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? That's when I learn.
Yeah.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You got to have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be fun for them. You see,
that's something I really like that Kuya Doug Marqueda has said in the past. Like, hey, this is cool that it's so, you know, that this is a tactical thing or very technical thing or very serious art, but you should have some fun too.
Should have some fun.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
Yeah.
Look, if we're going to operate in the sense of, let's say, if you do have to do this in combat, if you do have to go to war with it, or you have to do this for self-defense in a situation, that situation is intense.
Mm-hmm.
The more you can take away some of that intensity and inject knowledge and wisdom and experience and adaptability into that situation, that is the genius, I think, of what we're doing.
Yes.
Okay. I do feel that some of our training need to have some injection of reality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. Right. And we already have a lot of our brethren that are doing that.
Yeah.
You know, and we're doing that here, in our way. You know, and everybody has a different way of being doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's why I there's no comments to what everybody else's belief on that.
Yeah.
No comments, because I like this. I like this. I may not want to do it.
Yeah.
I may not want to do it because of how physicality or old or age or whatever. Or you just want to do it completely different.
Yeah.
But I can see.
Yes.
I use it for research.
Yeah.
Okay. The reality. What's reality? What is reality?
Yeah.
You know what reality is? When it really happens.
Yeah.
Because as much as we say we do reality stuff, Willie, no, that's airsoft, bro. That's not reality.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey, Will, come on.
Yeah.
That's, you know, I took some plaque for this before. You know, I had, I don't know if you, a friend of mine created a meme that I said, you know, I'm not a stick fighter. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Yeah.
And I still believe that, you know. I'm not a stick fighter until I fought with stick.
Yeah.
But it's not really fighting if I'm still wearing gears because it's gear fighting.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not a knife fighter when I haven't just done it with padded knives or rubber knives.
Yeah.
Because I'm a rubber knife fighter.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's okay. True. All right. Everybody's perspective of reality is different. And my you know, and until everybody's perspective of reality is different, but truth is the truth. Reality is reality. You know?
Yeah.
And until it happens, then that's real.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's where we are. And that's really what it. And that truth changes.
Mm-hmm.
That truth, like what Guru says, that truth changes, bro.
Yes.
And I know that, man.
Yeah.
That truth changes. Because one day I'm going to be very successful when we do a scenario thing, right? And then that's, again, that's not even real.
Yeah.
Right? Wow, I feel good. You know, next time you do it, fucking how come that shit didn't work?
Yeah.
Okay? Then you learn to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
You learn, okay, if that didn't work, I should have another plan.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And then you go, oh, now I got a second plan.
Yeah.
Let's do this. Okay. Oh, I went here. Oh, success. Boom. What happens? Oh, that didn't work again. What's the third plan?
Yeah.
Holy crap. And then there's a fourth plan, a fifth plan. And that's why Guru says, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this, you can do this. That's why when somebody says to me, just do this, that's it.
Yeah.
I worry. Now, are they being irresponsible? For the most part, they're not. For the most part, they really care about you.
Yeah.
But that's all they know.
Yes.
Okay, and they're enforcing what they know with love and caring for you, and they have created a life around that specific tactic and made it work for them within their realm.
Mm-hmm.
I always say in my class, and everybody who trains with me knows exactly what I'm going to say, the guy that you're going to fight did not go to our class.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know you're supposed to hit this way.
Yeah.
He doesn't know you're supposed to hit that way. He doesn't know you're going to block this way and make it work. So, every time we do the scenario, make it that you're not from this class.
Yeah.
Go.
Yes.
That's it.
But I think that's the art of it.
Yeah.
You know, we talk in today's world, I think there's a lot of the martial and there's a lot of the sport.
Sure.
But that's where what we're talking about here is where the art really comes in. And St. Thomas Aquinas, he has a quote that says, art is the right making of a thing to be made.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think what you said is true. You know, like taking those scenarios and, you know, like evolving it and polishing it and honing it through the time and the repetition, the practice, I think that's what completes it all, you know.
We'll never be in it until we're in it, bro.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We can do as many scenarios as we want. We can be a superstar, you know. We can keep moving the goalposts.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people do.
Yep.
They move the goalposts because, you see, I told you it works.
Yeah.
I try my best, and I say this with all sincerity, I try my best not to move the goalposts.
Yeah.
Because guaranteed, when I feel shitty, I want to move the goalposts.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be honest with you. And because I'm honest with my student.
Yeah.
But we don't.
Yeah.
Why? Because we know if we do that, then we're lying to ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But guess what? Some days you just want to go, how about we just do this?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But then, no, you got to go, no, we have to do it until we get good at it.
Yeah.
And then when we get good at it, then we do move the goalposts. We make it harder.
Yeah.
You see that? Yeah. That's when we move it.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yep.
Okay. So that's it.
Well, Guru, I really appreciate
you
taking the time. It's been a great conversation.
Awesome.
Also just spending time with you, especially since I moved back. You know, I don't see you, you know, sporadically like I used to at the academy. And, a big reason why I started this, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. And, my Lolo used to tell me stories about things in the Philippines.
Yeah.
And this was many years ago too. After he passed away, I really felt like there's so many stories that passed away with him.
And then
earlier this year when, it's just so many people have been passing away, but, one of the first people, if not the first person I wanted to interview was Pumana Tohono Sayo. And, the time is a precious thing. So, anytime I get the chance either to connect with you, spend time, obviously for something like this, it's great. But even if it's just a couple minutes to just, check in, see how you're doing, good to be close to you.
You know that. Yeah. Anytime. And I don't bother people because I know people are busy. And I don't feel bad when people don't text or call or whatever because I know me.
Yeah.
Because I think about everybody.
Yeah.
I think about everybody. And when I see your work and I see, and sometimes I even don't have time to click because I'm just go, oh, cool. And I go to the next one. It doesn't mean I didn't care.
Yeah.
I just going, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know? But no, we're all busy. No regrets, though, guys. No regrets, guys. Things happen for a reason. Certain things do happen to motivate us to do the thing. Sometimes those things need to happen. Not need to happen. Do happen. Mm-hmm. Okay? Maybe we pray that do happen. So that we go, I got to do this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Time is time. Are we running out of time? That's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's up to us. We do what we do within the time that we have here. Try not to regret anything. And if there is some sort of regret, then make it a vehicle to do the things that you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, do the right thing and you'll never be wrong.
Yeah. Thank you again, Guru.
You're welcome.
I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming. Oh, that was cool, bro.
That was great.
That was really cool. That was fun. Yeah, you got me emotional a couple of times.